Good morning, everyone. What did we say at the top of the hour? Countdown to Geneva. On Thursday, Iran and the G5 nations will sit down to take a look at Iran's nuclear program and see if common ground can be found as a way of moving forward. And the stage may, in fact, be set for what could be a fundamentally new relationship between Iran and the United States, or we may be returning to our corners and more posturing will supersede the discussions. Joining us now is David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times. He's the author of The Inheritance, The World Obama Confronts, and the Challenges to American Power. Good morning, David. We've talked about Iran quite a lot on this program.
We have, John.
Do you think it's possible that these talks on a longstanding issue of contention between Iran and the rest of the world, the nuclear program, could actually herald what Gary Sick said on this program yesterday, the long-delayed second act in U.S.-Iranian relations since the Islamic Revolution in 1979?
Well, boy, I sure hope Gary is right. But I think that to put too many expectations on this set of talks with a weakened Iranian government that probably is internally divided about what to say after the revelation of a covert nuclear program or plant that is actually on an Iranian Revolutionary Guard base, that might be a bit much. My expectations for this session are pretty low.
Now let's talk about the details there. The previously undisclosed uranium enrichment facility that you're referring to was discovered near the city of Qum, right?
That's right. It's in a mountainside in the city of Qum. And if you go on our look at our paper, or go on our website today, we take you on a satellite photo and graphic tour of how they built this thing.
And it is underground, and it's suspicious in the sense that there seems to be a lot of effort to make it secret. Yet, given the pre-existing controversy between Iran and the rest of the world regarding nukes, does Iran have an argument that, of course, we have to keep it secret? I mean, there's precedent for people bombing preemptively nuclear facilities in our part of the world.
Absolutely. They've only got two big problems out of this. They have maintained consistently that their program is completely civilian. In other words, that they are making nuclear fuel for nuclear power plants, something lots of countries do and something they're certainly permitted to do. It is hard to explain, however, why you would put a very small enrichment plant, which is really not economical for these purposes, under a mountain in the middle of an Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps base. That does seem to have a certain military sort of tone to it. And so when they get to Geneva, if they get to Geneva, because they haven't even told the European Union yet for sure that they were going to show or where or when, and this is only, 48 hours away, if they go ahead with that, they would have to answer an awful lot of questions about this. Now, the U.S. position, John, is that Iran did not plan to make this public, at least not now, and only did when they found out that the United States and its allies had pierced the secrecy of this thing and were about to go reveal the intelligence.
Well, I guess, you know, the question is, what is the opportunity here, and will these talks change what we alluded to at the top of the hour, the sense that the Iranians and the Americans speak to each other like the Federation and the Klingons, not knowing each other's language and not being able to find common ground? As you point out, the government in Iran is in a weakened state since the elections, and we'll see if that makes it to the table. David Sanger, thanks so much. Chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times, author of The Inheritance, The World Obama Confronts, and the Challenges to American Power.
This is a momentous occasion.
Mr. President, we have
to... We'll go all media on this. I'll wear my blue Cerruti suit, and Jerry, I'll need a good speech. Statesmanlike, historical, and yet warm and neighborly. Abraham Lincoln meets Leave It to Beaver. You know the sort of thing.
Yes, sir.
What is the opportunity on Thursday when Iran and the United States and possibly four other nations sit down to talk about the nuclear program? We decided to ask some Iranian Americans on the program who have different perspectives here. Iraj Mirshahi joins us. He's an Iranian American doctor of internal medicine. He lives in Richmond, Virginia, moved to the U.S. from Iran in 1983. And you're of the generation that is certainly knowledgeable of the events of 1979, the original Iranian Revolution. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
Sunshine Rhiannon Lutter joins us here. She's a political organizer, lives in Brooklyn, was very briefly in Tehran. You're of a generation who maybe didn't witness the 1979 revolution, but certainly understand it by the events that have happened subsequently, correct?
Good morning, yes.
All right. And Rudy Bakhtiar, who we've already spoken to, you're the advocate on our panel. You are director of public relations for the Public Affairs Alliance of Iranian Americans. First of all, if you were in the talks, Rudy, I'll begin with you, in Geneva, what would you say to the Iranian delegation?
Well, I think first it's important to understand that I'm here on behalf of myself as an Iranian American. PAIA, the Public Affairs Alliance of Iranian Americans, has no foreign policy advocacy issues. Having said that, this is an issue that's come front and center on all of our radars. I actually grew up in Iran. I was there during the revolution. I witnessed the takeover by the mullahs of our country. And if I were there at the talks, I would want our president, Barack Obama, to make sure that he highlights the human rights violations that are going on inside the country. I think we're at a very critical moment here in Iranian history, and that is this is the first chance in 30 years that the Iranian people have had to voice their opposition to this government. This is the first chance that this is the first time we've seen the supreme leader's position severely
right.
weakened.
You're referring to the elections and the events that have weakened the government that we referred to when we spoke with David Sanger. So you're advocating, Rudy Bakhtiar, a very hard line if Barack Obama has a chance to speak directly to the Iranians. And, of course, the nations will be speaking through delegations. Sunshine Rhiannon Lutter, what would you do if you were at these talks in Geneva on Thursday?
Well, that's an interesting question because I don't really think of the U.S. government as the best messenger of kind of advocating for what should happen with Iran. And I really think Iranians themselves are the best messengers for themselves. As an Iranian American, I support their efforts for self-determination and for, you know, doing what they need to do within the country.
What does that mean in terms of the nuclear program? Is that a part of self-determination to have this new facility that was disclosed last week?
It may be. I don't want to be on here as a nuclear expert. I mean, that's not something.
No, that's not why we asked you here. But
yeah.
No, you have an opinion, of course.
I mean, you know, I think that that's something that needs to be worked out through the protocols, through the international relations, through the legal mechanisms that are set up by the IAEA, you know, by the UN, et cetera. But I don't think it's, you know, the appropriate position for the U.S. government to say, you do what we say or else.
Okay, so you would not advocate a hard line, more of a let's try to find some common ground here. And I'm not saying that one is better than the other. Iraj Amirshahi, what would you do if you were in those talks on Thursday?
Well, I think this is a great opportunity for us as Americans to start a new relation with the Iranian government and Iranian people. As Rudy said, right now there's a turmoil in Iran. There's a division amongst the leaders in Iran, and the Iranian people are looking for, you know, more freedom and human rights. And, you know, we all know that Iran has a right to have nuclear energy, but we absolutely don't want them to get into the nuclear power. That's going to be disastrous in Middle East. So I think there's opportunity for Obama to start a dialogue and hopefully continue it over the next few years.
But what do you make, Doctor, of some of the rhetoric from President Ahmadinejad saying that Gordon Brown and Nicolas Sarkozy have no guts and that they have no business saying anything to Iran on nuclear issues? And, of course, we haven't even talked about the whole question of the Holocaust.
Well, remember that, you know, Mr. Ahmadinejad has been saying a lot of these things over the last 4 or 5 years. He doesn't have a whole lot of power, you know, on his own. He's, you know, sort of following what the supreme leader is saying right now. But the position of supreme leader has been weakened also during the recent, you know, after the elections
right.
and all that. So I'm not sure if it's.
He's not the show. He's not what you should be watching, President Ahmadinejad, according to you. Okay. Sunshine Rhiannon Lutter.
I agree with Dr. Amirshahi. I think that it's very important. This is a critical time right now when you look at what's going on inside the country. And I don't advocate, as you said, a hardline position at all. I think that the United States play a very critical role here in somehow understanding what's going on inside the country and using this opportunity to strengthen a movement inside the country for a reformed government, because it will make a big difference for us here in the United States.
Well, the question is, can that
inside the country.
Can that message get beyond the table and get beyond the people of the government that the G5 nations will be talking to? Sunshine Riani and Lutter, I'll let you have the last word. Just a couple of seconds here.
I'd just like to say that in terms of our government here in the U.S., that we really we should make sure not to go for economic sanctions. It's really crippling to the people in the country versus the government.
But I'm hearing a lot of agreement that this is a momentous occasion and that there could be a chance to find real common ground. Iraj Mashahi, Iranian-American doctor from Richmond, Virginia, Sunshine Riani and Lutter, political organizer in Brooklyn, and Rudy Bakhtiar, an Iranian-American living in Washington. Thanks to all three of you.